Mark Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Problems at Eskom continue. We're told that if we do experience an economic upturn in the second half of the year, many people saying, you know, it's possible, we could actually start experiencing a bit of an economic upturn. Things are starting to look a little bit good in South Africa. Although we did get knocked with the trade deficit, unexpected trade deficit in the last month. But the figures have been like showing some green shoots of growth and opportunity in the second half of the year. But we're told, no, in actual fact, if we do have economic growth, we're going to have power outs because Eskom's not going to be able to take up the slack. Well, a lot of problems happening. More than 440 billion rands worth of debt at Eskom. More bailouts in the pipeline. And now it turns out that in actual fact, Eskom might not be given the true and correct figures to Parliament. They came before the Parliamentary Oversight Committee, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, yesterday. And they got a lot of flack from Chris Yelland. He is the publisher of EE Publishing, focusing on the energy sector. He really does a good job in terms of keeping a tight rein on Eskom and what's going on over there. And he joins us on the line now. Chris, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. And good morning to your listeners. Thanks for having me on the show.
So now, Chris, apparently Eskom is not giving the true figures to Parliament at the Oversight Committee yesterday. The figures that they put before Parliament were not in actual fact the real figures. Can you give us a bit of light on this?
Yeah, well, the point is they are very outdated figures. Those figures that they gave to Parliament are figures that appear in Eskom's annual financial results for the 2015-2016 financial year. That means 3 years ago compared to the current accounts.
So it's like almost a cut and paste job.
Well, they just haven't been updated.
Yeah.
And Eskom say that they update these figures regularly, but they didn't. Okay. So not only are they 3 years old, but they also exclude the biggest cost items in the project. So, for example, more than 100 billion rand of capitalized interest during construction is not included in those figures, even though capitalized interest during construction has been happening since the project started in 2007 and 2008. And then secondly, a figure of 39 billion rand is not included for what is known as flue gas desulfurization plant. This is pollution control equipment. That is a contractual requirement for Medupi in terms of a World Bank loan that was signed in 2010. So it's not like that Eskom don't know these things, or they just not put in the figures. And in my view, that is misleading and wrong.
Now, this gas flue desulfurization equipment the World Bank loan.
Yes.
That's that same World Bank loan that Patrick Bond reckons should never have been made in the first place and is in fact almost odious debt and shouldn't be repaid.
Well, I must disagree fundamentally with him on this. This is a loan that was properly entered into by Eskom together with the government of South Africa, and it is a total of $3.75 billion, which converted to rands is around about 55 billion rand.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
A World Bank loan for the funding and the construction of Medupi. Now, you can argue, you know, 10 years later that we shouldn't have entered into that loan, but Eskom has a legal obligation. There's a contract. It is obligated. And to suggest that South Africa should walk away from this loan would be incredibly damaging for South Africa
and its credit rating
and its standing in the financial community.
Okay. We won't get on to Patrick Bond's issues. Do you think that Eskom has just taken the money and has used it for something else and now doesn't have any money for the desulfurization equipment?
They don't have the money. their devils are way too high. Their liquidity is in a very bad shape, requiring regular bailouts. So they don't have the money. It's that simple. But this is a contractual obligation in terms of the loan agreement.
Yeah.
So Eskom is going to either have to go to the World Bank and tell them, that they would...
squander the money.
Not going to do this anymore, in which case the World Bank may ask them to pay the money back. but the point is, you can't take a person's money, enter into a contract, take a person's money, and then fail to meet the terms of the loan.
Yeah.
It's just not, if you do that sort of thing in business and in finance, you'll be punished.
Yeah, well, at the same time, Eskom and Sasol are being sued by GroundUp and several other NGOs for the dirty air that they're spewing out over Vanderbijl Park and Emalahleni. Is there any indication that Eskom is going to be able to reduce its pollution that's spewing into the air? I mean, you see all these Facebook posts saying like we've got the worst air pollution in the world.
The thing is that neither Sasol nor Eskom, the majority of Eskom's power stations, the vast majority of their coal-fired power stations, do not comply with what is known as the minimum emission standards for South Africa. So there are some legislation that specify and regulate the, what kind of pollution you can put into the air, both in terms of particulate emissions, that means smoke and dust, ash, in other words, ash from burning of coal, as well as toxic gases such as sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide. And as I say, majority of Eskom's power stations do not meet these legal requirements. And the only reason they can continue operating is because they have an exemption from the law. They've applied for an extension exemption. So they've got an extra number of years before they will comply. My personal view is that Eskom's old coal-fired power stations will never comply with those standards, and Eskom has no real intention of making them comply. It doesn't have the money to make them comply, and these old power stations probably not worth making them comply in terms of the remaining life of these plants. So they just apply for extensions, and when those extensions expire, they apply for another exemption. These plants would be illegal in virtually every country of the world.
Giving us
and Eskom doesn't have the money to make them comply, bottom line.
Oh boy. It really worries you, in terms of do you think they're going to get a chief executive anytime soon? Has there been any indication there?
Well, the plan is that the acting CEO, Mr. Jabu Mabuza, will give three names to the minister for his consideration by the end of September. And then we'll follow various due processes before there is a final appointment. I'm not sure exactly when this may take place, but I guess it should take place sometime this year. And it really all depends on government's processes in making the appointment. And we do know that government processes can sometimes turn out to be very, very slow indeed.
Yeah.
But I do think that probably by the end of this year, there should be a new CEO at Eskom.
Well, we certainly hope so. And we certainly hope the lights will still be on come New Year. Chris Yellen, thank you for joining us on Marcus Sahama. We hope you have a pleasant and well-lit day forward.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Take care. Bye.